Joining me now on the hotline, man who is the all-time longest tenured player in Chicago Bears history, has had a streak of 2,282 plays without a botched snap as a long snapper, and was called by his teammate Robbie Gould the greatest long snapper to ever play the game. Patrick Manley, now with 670 The Score, is with us. Patrick, how you doing?
Thanks for joining me. How are you?
Great. That's got to feel good when your teammate calls you the greatest long snapper in the history of the sport, right?
Your teammate better call you that. I mean, you're working together each day. He better not tell me I'm the worst or the second best, because I'd have something else to say to him.
Did you know, when you retired, or right before you retired, did you know you were the longest tenured Bear of all time?
I did. And the crazy story is, you know, as a kid growing up, it's a dream always to play pro sports, and NFL football was a dream of mine. And the record I got to break was Walter Payton's at 191 games. And that, to me, is still something I go back and pinch myself, that the fact I can look on a record list and see my name next to him, it still blows me away.
Do you remember the 85 Bears well in Walter Payton? I mean, I know you probably, what were you, like 10 years old then?
I was 10. I was born in 75. So I grew up in Atlanta, and the Falcons were not very good back then. So
yeah.
You followed all the other teams that were on the national broadcast. So it would be the 49ers, and Joe Montana was a favorite of mine, and then the 85 Bears, of course. So I grew up a Bears fan just because those guys were such great personalities, and they were always on the TV in Atlanta, and they were always winning. And so I became a Bears fan and was lucky enough to get drafted up here in 98.
Yeah, I'm 14. I was 14 myself at the time, and I remember watching. I was a Bengals fan, but I loved watching that Bears team. I don't think we've ever seen anything like it. The way they, between Walter Payton and the way that defense played, it was funny because the Fridge got so much hype, but he was probably like the 6th, 7th best player on that defense, if that.
If that, you're right.
Yeah.
I think it was his rookie year, and he was just a big guy, so it was a little bit different body type of what was going on in the NFL at that time. I mean, shoot, you had McMichael, Hampton, Dent, Otis Wilson, Mike. You had so many great players back there that it was interesting that he got all the hype he did, but, you know, he had a great career as well, and he was fun to watch play fullback.
Patrick, I'm curious, because, like, the long snapper is such a unique position in college football, because – Or forget it, college football, NFL, whatever. But did you, like, when you get into you're playing offensive line in college, and like how do you realize you're good at this? Because it's such a unique skill set, and it's such a different position than everything else. Like the punter and kicker are kind of seem like they're on their own in football, but you're an offensive lineman, and so it's so different. Is there like a long snapper community? What's going on with that? I need to know more.
I think there is now, but Adam, I got lucky. My brother is 5 years older. He went off to play football at Notre Dame and was a freshman on that 88 national championship team. And at that time, every high school All-American was going there. So he was trying to find a way to get on the field quicker. And he came back that summer after that first year and was like, you know what, I need to learn how to long snap. I need to see if I can get on the field, you know, instead of competing against the other, you know, defensive tackle, offensive lineman that's an All-American, let's see if I can differentiate myself and become a long snapper. So we went out in the front yard and just started snapping back and forth, and he could do it okay, and I was 5 years younger, I think, going into my 8th grade year, and he's like, here, you give it a shot. And I bent over and snapped it, and it was something that God-given natural ability that I could just do it pretty darn well. And because of my brother and understanding the importance of that position and possibly getting on the field quicker and not knowing that I was going to go play college, I took a lot of pride in it through high school and then got a scholarship to go to Duke to be an offensive lineman. And then my freshman year, the 5th-year senior who was going to be the long snapper got injured in camp. And the coach came to me and said, listen, we got to burn your redshirt year. We need you to long snap for us. And I had already taken pride in that position and was excited to be able to get on the field my first game against Florida State in 1993 as a long snapper. And from then on, just took pride in it. And I think to continue on in 98 when I got drafted, it started to become a specialized position. So I think you were talking about the punters and kickers.
Right.
You know, you can now add the long snapper there. It's the trio of us. We're the guys that just take the knee on the sideline during practice. It luckily became a job, and every team now, 32 teams, you know, have a guy that just long snaps.
In
1998, it wasn't that way, but now it is that way.
That's a cool story. It's a cool story. Mm-hmm. We're talking Patrick Manley from a longtime Chicago Bear, now works in Chicago, 670 The Score. I love Chicago. It's my favorite city that I've never lived in. Although, to be fair, I've only gone to Chicago in the summer. So maybe if I went in the winter, I'm a Cubs fan, so I go. You know, I go almost every summer to Wrigley. But the winter, not as much fun, I assume.
You don't want to be here today. We have like 8 inches, 10 inches of snow melting in the rain. It's ugly and gray. It's a perfect day to lay on the couch and watch college football.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, before speaking of college football, what game are you most excited about today? I know we got Oklahoma, Texas going on, surprisingly low scoring early, but what game are you into college football today the most?
The Georgia-Alabama game, you know, from Atlanta. My mom went to Georgia. I've always been a Georgia fan. My dad went to Notre Dame, so my brother was a Notre Dame fan, but I've always been kind of a closet Georgia fan, and I enjoy SEC football, and that's the one I'm really looking forward to watching.
Speaking of Georgia, Mel Tucker, who I know was a coach with you guys, my partner on the radio, I worked during the week in Cleveland. My partner, Dustin Fox, played for him at Ohio State, and he got a job today with Colorado. What'd you think about that?
I think it's great. It's interesting because my last year, he was our defensive coordinator with the Bears, and I actually played against him in college.
Yeah.
So all my teammates, he played at Wisconsin, I played at Duke, and we played in the Hall of Fame Bowl, which is now the Outback Bowl. So all my teammates are like, "You're that old? You played with one of our coaches?" I'm like, "Yeah, I think it's time to retire." But he is an awesome dude, great guy, very happy for him. Came into a real tough situation here, trying to take over a Lovie Smith-style defense and run something that he's not 100% familiar with, and he's gone on to have great success at Alabama and Georgia, and I'm happy for him. I think he'll do great things there.
Patrick, let's get to the NFL. Let's talk about the Bears. Mitch Trubisky's banged up. You know, I mentioned that I work in Cleveland, and so I saw Mitch Trubisky play in high school, and then, you know, he goes south for college, and you know, he didn't play that much. He had the 1 year, and he played great, and he got drafted high by the Bears, and last year it was kind of an uneven rookie season, and didn't ask him to do too much. He didn't look great, but he didn't play that much, and you know, he's really progressed well this second year. This injury is unfortunate, but give me your thoughts on him and how this team has progressed with an offensive guy like Matt Nagy running the show.
We'll start with Mitch. You mentioned I do the radio stuff here now, so now I'm in the media, and I do some stuff during the draft time. So we knew the Bears were in the market for a quarterback. So I got to watch a lot of tape of Mitch Trubisky, Deshaun Watson, and Patrick Mahomes, and all three of them, you know, you could see being first-round draft picks, and it was just kind of figuring out which player you thought had the traits or skill sets that would translate to the NFL. And when I watched the tape, I thought Mitch had that. I thought he was the number one quarterback with the skill sets that would translate to the NFL. And he started out a little slow last year with the offense here with John Fox. I don't think fit him real well.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's been very fortunate to have Matt Nagy in this style of offense that he now has here in Chicago because he's flourished. He was really green, like you talked about. He didn't play a lot of college snaps. Hadn't seen a whole lot of defenses, but now Matt Nagy has accelerated his learning curve, and he's improving each week. He started out a little slow this year, but you can see his coverage recognition is a lot quicker with his eyes. He keeps his eyes downfield. His pocket awareness is improved tremendously from last year to even week four of this year. I think the Bears do have a special one. I think he has a lot more growth to come, but he has the legs. I think he's still leading the NFL in rushing, or he's right up there with Cam Newton, so he can escape the pocket, and that's what got him hurt with his shoulder injury. But he has tremendous NFL skill set as a quarterback, and it doesn't hurt to have that defense on the other side that they have this year with Khalil Mack and the signing, the free signing we got from him from Oakland.
Yeah, you know, it's really amazing because when we think of game-changing players, usually we think of quarterbacks because they make such a difference in the standings. But Khalil Mack, talk about that a little more and, like, the difference he's made to take this defense, which was, you know, okay last year, but I mean, now probably the best in football.
Yeah, you hear the word multiplier. A guy's a multiplier. And I got to play with Brian Urlacher, who was one of those guys that he made Lance Briggs better. He made Charles Tillman better. He made Tommy Harris better. He made everybody better around him, and you can see it just because his level of play is so great. He practices so hard. He's so prepared. So everybody's following him in that regard. But then on the field, you have to really worry about that player. So Khalil Mack, they have to worry about all their protection about him. So that opens up Akeem Hicks. That opens up Leonard Floyd. That opens up Eddie Jackson, Roquan Smith when he's blitzing, or Danny Trevathan when he's blitzing. So all these other guys all of a sudden become better in their own right because they have one-on-one blocks, where you've seen numerous times that Khalil Mack is double and triple teamed, because they're so worried about him. And he has just been that special. And from what I hear about the guys in the locker room, that he's not only great on the field, but he is that good of a teammate, that hard of a worker. And that goes a long way with, like I said earlier, with guys following guys that are that great. You want to follow them. And I'm hearing that's the way it's going in the locker room, and the Bears are lucky to have him.
Patrick Manley with us from 670 The Score in Chicago, longtime Bears player. Patrick, let's look in the rest of that division. And the Packers, it's unbelievable. You know, Aaron Rodgers hasn't played great. A lot of people want to blame the coach. I personally don't love the coach that much, but I'm not there. but it's hard to believe that even though the defense isn't great, but that an Aaron Rodgers team is 4-6-1. You know, in the past when he's been hurt, they haven't been as good, but he's not hurt. He's not 100% healthy,
right,
but he's playing.
No, right.
So how do you explain how they're 4-6-1 right now?
I think they're just kind of done with the Mike McCarthy message.
Yes.
I think that gets worn out in locker rooms. I've been in locker rooms with other coaches where when I was younger, the older guys, and it was Dave Wannstedt, who was kind of done with his tenure in Chicago, and I'm looking at the older guys and Wannstedt giving his message for the week, and they're rolling their eyes like, all right, we've heard this before. And it's not that Coach Wannstedt was a bad coach. They were just done. They were ready for new blood. They needed a new message. They needed something new. And I think that's happening there. And you're right. We're hearing the rumblings here in Chicago loud and clear that, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy aren't best buds anymore. He doesn't trust his play calling and what he's calling and his scheme. So I think that's part of it. And I think the biggest thing is, too, as you saw it, like you mentioned, when Aaron's not in, they're not very good at all. So their talent around him, to me, is not up to par with some of the other teams. And it gets exposed when he doesn't play.
The Minnesota Vikings, somehow early in the season, still can't figure this out, lost 27-6 to the Buffalo Bills at home. And they lost to the Rams the next week, but they've played much better since. They did lose to the Bears, as you know, of course, and they lost to New Orleans. But overall, they've played much better since early in the season. They've got a huge game at New England against the Patriots. Who do you like in that game?
That's a great question. I mean, the Minnesota is good because when they just played the Bears a couple weeks ago, so I looked at their roster and saw all the talent they have from Harrison Smith, just everywhere. They have talent everywhere. The receivers are great. I'm just shocked that they are playing as poorly as they are. To go back to that Buffalo Bills game, they lost that because they gave up 3 turnovers and didn't get any, and that was just one of those anomaly things of the turnover deal. If you lose the turnover battle, you're going to lose the game. But I'm shocked they're not playing as well as they are. And the Bears have also played the Patriots, but I'm just scared whenever you go into Foxborough and you have Tom Brady and you have a healthy Gronk, that's going to make a difference. But if I got to pick a winner, I'm going to go with the Patriots just because they're playing at home. But I could see the Vikings winning just because they have so much darn talent. And I feel like they know their back is against the wall. They know they have a 2.5 game. They're back 2.5 games compared to the Bears, and they need to win a few more games to get in that wild card spot. So I think it's going to be a great game. I'm looking forward to watching that one, but I got the Patriots winning that one.
Patrick, you know, we all know about what happened with the video yesterday with Kareem Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Chiefs decide to cut him, which I thought was a good move. But I was surprised that they did it, considering how young and talented he is, because usually teams put that over humanity, unfortunately. But they did cut him. And, I don't know if you ever dealt with an incident like that, but the way a locker room is, I wonder, like, how does that affect the locker room? Whether it's players responding to what he did or what they know he did after he apparently lied to the organization about not doing it. The fact that he's been cut, you know, there's probably some players that don't care what he did and want him there because he could help them win. I wonder how, I guess there's no way to know for sure, but how do you think of the locker room will be affected?
Well, I'll go back and look on something that we had, but it's not domestic violence. Remember the whole Sam Hurd thing where he was dealing mounds of drugs here in Chicago on the south side? So, you know, that was a huge story, and that was a guy that was a good contributor, not a Kareem Hunt-style guy or that big of a contributor, but, you know, he was gone the next day. And when things of this magnitude happen, you understand there's bigger things in life, and this is something that hopefully the NFL will now – handle much better than they did with the Ray Rice situation. It sounds like they are, but I'm still shocked how they never saw the video.
Crazy.
TMZ had it. I don't understand that. If the NFL is this great entity and they're all knowing and they're all powerful, how did they not get it? I don't understand that, but I agree with you. I think the Chiefs made the right decision, and I think the culture's changing amongst or within the NFL, and hopefully it continues everywhere in the world, that
you know, this needs to be treated with the way it's being treated, and then hopefully he can get some help and understand that you do not come close to doing anything like you did in that video.
Yeah, well said, well said. On a much lighter note, Patrick, the Cowboys, their effort defensively against the Saints on Thursday night, remarkable. How surprised, if at all, were you that the Cowboys not only won that game, but just the way they won it, holding Drew Brees and the Saints to 10 points?
I tell you what, I got a chance to be with Rod Marinelli when he was here with Lovie Smith in Chicago, and he's the defense coordinator there in Dallas. He is one special dude, man. He can get anybody to run through a wall. And you give him talent, you give him guys that can make plays and play in his system, the way he runs his system, nothing shocks me. You know, I was one, too, that thought that the Saints would kind of walk away with that, just the way they were playing so hot and the way Drew Brees has been playing. But nothing surprised me with Rod Marinelli. If you ever get to interview guys, defensive players of his, to have them explain to you what his meetings are like.
Right.
How he can get guys to play at that next level. He is a special man, and they've got a special guy down there directing that defense, and it showed. And they just rallied to the ball. He gets everybody. He wants all 11 players to the ball, and that goes a long way, especially in today's NFL offensive game that's going on, that you've got to play defense, you've got to rally to the ball, and that's one thing the Bears got to do this weekend against Saquon Barkley. If you want to play great defense and win this league now, where all the rules, the way they're set up for the offense, you've got to rally to the ball, and Rod Marinelli definitely has his guys doing that.
Patrick, last thing on football, Chargers-Steelers, probably the game of the week, Sunday night football. Steelers coming off a loss to Denver. Chargers also lost to Denver a couple of weeks ago. Melvin Gordon out for the Chargers in this game. Who do you like in that one?
Where are they playing? I apologize.
In Pittsburgh. No, it's all good. Pittsburgh? It's in Pittsburgh,
okay.
Yeah.
So Heinz Field, that's the tough place to play. You're going across the country. But you know what's going to be fun to watch is Ben Roethlisberger and Phillip Rivers. I think that's going to be a great thing to watch, those two guys. Going into Heinz Field is a tough place. You're going in there in December. They're coming out from L.A. That makes a huge difference. I'm telling you, it's that time of year where cold weather teams, and that's what I loved about playing in Chicago, is when teams came from warm weather places, and I'm hoping next week when the Rams come here that they feel the difference. I hope it's bad weather. I'm not sure. I haven't looked at it yet. But when you get into a place like Heinz Field, Soldier Field, Green Bay, any place like that in December, that's an extra point or two. So I'm going to lean to the Steelers just because of that.
Favorite pizzeria in Chicago?
Oh, man. See, I'm not a deep dish guy, and I get in trouble.
Even if it's not deep dish.
Arulio's. Arulio's my place. We do a lot of pregame shows there. So I got to plug the place we go, but that place is excellent. Arulio's is outstanding. I believe it started on the south side, and it's the tomato paste that makes it. It's very, very good pizza.
Patrick, appreciate the time, man. Great stuff. Thanks for joining me.
You bet, man. Thanks for having me.